Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Boldly Pursuing podcast. I am your host, Caitlin Henderson. Here on this podcast, we have conversations with friends who are stepping out and doing the things that God has called them to do in order to help encourage you to do the very same thing. On today's podcast episode, we have my sweet friend, Jen Han, to talk about her book, My Yes is on the Table. When I tell you every single person needs to listen to this conversation, it was so good. We dove right in talking about the fear of saying yes to God, the fear of success, the fear of failure, the fear of possibly hearing God wrong and going after the wrong thing. And even if we can trust the character of God and just all of these things that are wrapped into being obedient where God has called us. This was one of my favorite conversations. I think so many of you are going to be so encouraged by it, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Jen. Jen, welcome to the podcast. It is so good to have you today.
This is so fun. I have been a listener and a behind the scenes, you know, social media stalker. So it's fun. Like, oh, I'm actually on this podcast.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That makes me like nervous for some reason. I don't know why. That's
so sweet. Don't be nervous. Listen, it's just me here. You don't have to be nervous at all.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, to get us started, will you tell our listeners a little bit about you?
I will. I love coffee. So I wish we were having coffee right now together.
Oh, yes.
Black, strong, dark coffee is how I drink it. But I don't judge the mocha drinkers among us. I have been doing my dream ministry since 2012 called Coming Alive Ministries, where I do trauma counseling after natural disasters and war. And I also write books and speak and have a podcast. So I love that. And I am single, but my twin sister has four kids. So being Aunt Nin, as they call me to them, is my favorite job in the world.
Oh, I love that. So today we're going to be talking about your book called My Yes is on the Table, which I have been diving into. And I want to tell you, I underline in my books, which some people are absolutely horrified at, but I can't help it. I do. I made it less than a full page into the book before I started underlining, just so you know.
That is such a high compliment. I'm an underliner as well, so that means so much to me.
I know some people are like, how dare you write in a book? But I'm like, no, because I want to remember it. And there's something about underlining it or highlighting it that just like stamps it into my brain, you know?
Yeah, I'm a visual person, so I do the same. And sometimes I underline and then rewrite the sentence it, you know?
Yeah.
So I am so honored.
Well, I'm super excited to talk about this today because I feel like this is something that all of us just really need to hear. So the thing that I underlined a page in, I want to start there because we're kind of going deep right off the bat, okay? Because I was
it.
Like, we're going to talk about this. Okay. You said that my greatest fear was that an obedient yes to God would mean no to what I thought I was to do for him. And that's where we're going to start today.
Okay. Yeah, let's start there. I mean, it is the first of the book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is so easy to doubt the goodness and the plans of God and to think our plans are better. I mean, maybe that's just me, but I can come up with some really great dreams and plans, and I'm a dreamer, I'm a visionary. And so for me, it was like, oh, if I say yes to God, what does that mean I have to say no to? And you find me in the beginning of that story for me was I had left everything and everyone I knew and loved to go live as a missionary across the world in Nepal. And I thought, this is a God thing. I mean, it seems very, you know, spiritual, right?
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the people, fell in love with the place. And my biggest fear was God was going to call me to say no to that. What would people think? What would I do? That was my dream. And then he did call me to leave it. And so my yes meant saying no, even when I wasn't sure what the next step was. And so God taught me so much about how our yes doesn't just stay safe and same, although we would like it to. I would like it to, because that's comfortable. Even though one would think a third world country living isn't comfortable, it was for me because it's what I thought was God's dream for my life.
Right. Sorry. I should have had you like give some backstory before I just jumped in. I'm too excited to dive in. I should have had you give some of the backstory on the missionary. I read it. So, okay, going with that, I feel like this isn't talked about a lot where, okay, God did call you to be a missionary. Yes, God does call us to things. And I think we all have those moments where God calls us to something and we're obedient and we do it. And then we start to hear him saying something else and we're like, but you called me to this. Like, did I hear you wrong? We start doubting. And then I think our identity starts to become the one thing that he called us to, like missionary or author. And so then when he starts to like pull us somewhere different, it can be a real struggle. Do you think that? Do you find that?
100%. That's why I didn't want to say no to that calling, because listen, I got real prideful about it, to be honest. Like, people treat you when you're a missionary and single and going to a third world country like you have a cape that says super Christian. And, you know, I got used to that and I liked it. And I'm like, that is who I am. And that, what will people think? And what do I think without that title? And it took forever when I came home, when people asked me what I did, for me to not pause and feel ashamed that I wasn't saying missionary anymore.
Oh,
and so, yeah, it's so easy to think we said yes and it's one and done. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you say yes to a thing and God has you do it for the rest of your life. But oftentimes that yes surrender leads to the next surrender, to the next. And in that surrender, you have to say, okay, where is my identity? And where am I just saying, yes, I will follow you? I was about to say Into the Unknown, which makes me think of that Frozen 2 song.
Immediately,
which is the song was in my head. I don't even have kids, but I almost sang it as I said it. I won't. But yeah, we don't like that unknown. I can like my comfortable.
Yeah, that is hilarious. Because now that song is going to be in my head the rest of the day. Okay, so tell me, how long were you in Nepal for?
So I only ended up staying there for 2 years, but I thought I was going to live and die there with a missionary offering named after me someday. That was what I thought. And but in that first year, I began to sense the Lord just stirring. Every sermon, everything was going back to Abraham in Genesis 12, where God said, go to a place I will show you. And I sense God saying, you're going to have to go to the place I will show you, but you have to say yes. And I'm like, I thought I did. Here I am in Nepal. Like, didn't you show me that? And the thing is, God did. I believe God took me there. I believe that was in his will. I believe I followed him with my yes. But I believe yes is a daily thing, not just a one and done. And so he knew the next steps and I did not. And so I had to say yes.
Okay. So you were obedient in going to Nepal, but you're saying that you didn't immediately obey when you felt God calling you to leave. Like, it took a while.
Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah.
Because that identity and that fear, and mainly fear of what will people think. Because often, at least if I answer the question, I want to say yes to God, but I'm afraid of. For me, God has gifted me with faith to do crazy, bold things to, you know, so I'm not always scared of the provision or the, you know, I'll go to places people don't want to go, but I fear people's opinion and approval of me and rejection. And so for me, that was a big one. What will people think? And so maybe as a listener, you're thinking the same. I want to say yes to God, but what will it put me out there for people to say about me or to me? So that was a big,
Yeah, that's huge. Okay. You talk about promised land living. I want you to explain that, if you will, because I don't know, that was a concept that really hit me.
Well, I call promised land living obedience. And really, because we see it in the Bible through the story of the Israelites, God had a promise for them, a place for them. And we don't necessarily have a place that we're all journeying towards, except for heaven, right? But we have the same God that we're following, that they followed. And the same promise maker is the same promise keeper today. And so I have to remember that I am standing on the edge of my promised land, and God will allow me to enter into that with obedience, into what he has prepared for me. And I think of the Israelites. I got to stand on Mount Nebo where Moses looked out into the promised land and didn't get to go in. He looked over into it, and it was just, and I had been on the other side in the actual promised land of Israel. And while standing on Mount Nebo, looking out over into it, I just fell to my knees and I'm like, God, I don't ever want to miss what you have for me because I don't want to surrender my yes for you. And that is where Promised Land Living is. And it doesn't mean like it meant for me going across the world and now even still getting to travel the world. For you, it may be your Promised Land Obedience Living is God calling you to just really pour into your family and love them and cook another casserole for them and change another diaper and, you know, all the things moms do who are amazing, by the way. Or it may be obedience to start that ministry at church. But Promised Land Living is obedience.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so then we go to the question, how do I know which way will lead me to my promised land? Or what if I make the wrong choice? Like, I want to say yes to God. Like, how do I hear from him? What if I hear him wrong? Like, all the things. So where do we start?
I love this question because it's so true. And I think a lot of times people fear saying yes because they're afraid they'll get it wrong and hear God wrong. And what I go back to is James chapter 1 tells us that if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask God and he gives it generously and without reproach, which means, and one of the translations says lavishly. And I just love that. Like he wants to give us wisdom for our next steps. So one, we have to ask him. We have to be brave enough because that's scary. Because then we're like, if we ask him, listen for him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'd rather listen for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to ask first in prayer, pouring out your heart. And then I say the real way to know the character of God and the commandments of God and the promises of God is to get to know God. And praise the Lord, we have his written word to help us know who he is. And so the best way I know how to hear his voice is to know his character. And the way I know his character is in his word. And so that's where I encourage people to start is just dive in. If studying the Bible overwhelms you there, I mean, this is a day and time where there's so many things that can help you. So many books, so many online helps. And then even just get a friend to do it with you and study God's word because his word will always confirm his character and his calling. And that sounds simple, but it's true. And so that helps me. And you know what? Sometimes we will get it wrong. And that's where I love God's mercies and how they're new every day. And so we can't hold on to the shame of the past and say, I can't say yes in the present because I got it wrong before. God of our yesterdays is working in our today and has gone into our tomorrow. So that's who we're saying yes to.
So talking about God's character, I also think we have to do a gut check sometimes. Like I know for me personally, there are times that I will catch myself thinking something about God and have to be like, whoa, that is not the character of God. Like I will be afraid to pray certain prayers because I'm like, well, that's opening the door. You know, so for example, like if I pray a big scary prayer of like, I trust you with my family, I'm like guarded because I'm like, well, no, like that just gave God permission to, you know, like let my whole family die in a wreck or so, like something crazy, you know, which could that happen? Yes. But it's like, I think we sometimes just get God's character twisted. Like he's this like mean God up in the sky that's like waiting for us to give him permission so that he can like step in and like wreck everything. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but.
Oh no, 100% it makes sense. And I think if we're honest, that is what all of our fears, if we're answering the question, I want to say yes, but I'm afraid of, the underlying, underneath all of that is I'm afraid that I can trust that God is good and that he is a good father who gives good gifts. And it does get confusing because we will all have questions left unanswered if we're really honest here on earth as to why did God put that in my story or why did God answer that prayer that way, which makes it scary to pray. And I talk about in Joshua 10, Joshua prays this big prayer out loud in front of a crowd for the sun to stand still. And if I were him, I'd maybe mutter that under my breath because what if God didn't answer in front of all those people? Or maybe I'd ask for something a little more, you know, not so specific, like Lord, give me strength for the battle. Or Lord, show me how we're going to find victory, not make the sun stand still. But Joshua obviously knew the character of God in a way that he was praying the boldest prayer he could. And that is convicting to me.
Yeah, that they don't make prayers much bolder than that.
Yeah, and out loud in front of a whole crowd. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, like that's just, it's mind-blowing when you really think about it, honestly. So, okay, talking about trying to put our yes on the table for God and trying to discerning, hearing from him, then we move into the fear of having to say yes and what that means. And I love what you say of go afraid because, okay, I used to struggle with this and I know I've talked to some other people that do, so I'm not totally alone, but the Bible says do not fear, you know, so many times. So I think we have this perception sometimes of if we're afraid when we're getting ready to do something, it must not be from God. When really, it's kind of the opposite, I think. I don't think there's anything that I know God has truly been calling me to where I wasn't at least slightly afraid. So I love that you put that in there, that go afraid. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it, again, is easy for us to put the character of God and make him like a person. And almost if we hear a person saying, do not be afraid, it's almost like they're condemning us for our fear. And I like how in Joshua 1:9, where God says to Joshua, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. He gives the key. He says, for I am with you. And I believe God was not condemning him, but coming alongside him and saying, I know you're going to be afraid. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you this. I'm reminding you, though, that I am with you in that fear. I will meet you there and go with you from there. And that's what I have to tell myself all the time. Like writing a book is terrifying, as you know. Right?
Yes.
It makes you feel like you're walking out into a crowd naked.
Yes, it
and
does.
I had to remind myself, not that I've done that, but I had to remind myself often, like, Jen, you may be afraid, but God is with you. And whoever is listening right now, just in whatever that fear stop is, the way to turn it to a faith step is one, acknowledge the fear, and two, run to the Lord with it instead of pretending it's not there. And that, I think, is where we can get lost is when we try to pretend that we're not afraid and do the thing. I think it's much different experience when we acknowledge, I actually am afraid. Lord, help me do your thing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, friends, just taking a quick break to tell you about Perfect Supplements. So over the last couple of years, I have been kind of documenting my health journey on Instagram and how I've really kind of switched over to trying to holistically heal my body and turning to more natural practices and trying to get to the root of my endometriosis and all of these things, right? And I get a lot of questions about the supplements that I'm taking and what I'm doing. And I'm not on a ton of supplements, but the ones that I am on, I get from Perfect Supplements. Supplements matter, guys. Like what you're putting in your body matters. I trust Perfect Supplements. I've done my research on them. So for instance, like the vitamin C that I take, it comes from like real whole food ingredients. Like if you look at their ingredients, it's apples, beets, carrots, cherries, blueberries, garlic, green onion, like that. That's it. It's real food. I get my collagen from them, my beef gelatin to make homemade gummies, which by the way, if you've never done that, it's delicious. You should try it. But so many things, basically any vitamins or supplements that we do take, we get from Perfect Supplements. So I reached out and I was able to get a code for you guys. If you go to perfectsupplements.com and you use the code Caitlin, C-A-I-T-L-I-N, you can get 10% off your order. Plus something really cool that they do is like the more you buy, the bigger discount you get. And oh, I got to tell you guys, beef liver supplements. I mentioned this on Instagram and some of you thought I was crazy. And some of you were like, beef liver changed my life. So I was actually eating raw beef liver every day, swallowing it like a pill, just a little chunk of it. You might be thinking that's disgusting, but beef liver is literally like a superfood. It has so many nutrients packed into it per ounce. It is incredible for your body. But I was having a hard time remembering to take it every day. And honestly, it was kind of gross. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of gross. So Perfect Supplements has desiccated beef liver that's in a capsule. So you just take it like a pill. You don't taste it. It's amazing. All of the same health benefits. You can go read about beef liver and what a superfood it is, how good it is for you. But we get those from Perfect Supplements also. So I wanted to tell you guys about that because I get asked so much about my health journey and the things that I'm doing. So I wanted to tell you guys that and get you guys a code. So again, go to perfectsupplements.com. And put in the code Caitlin, C-A-I-T-L-I-N. All right, now back to our show. So then if we go even a little bit deeper into the specific fears we have when putting our yes on the table for God, you said something that I literally did not know other people struggled with, where you said, I'm afraid of success because it adds a weight of expectation. And sometimes I'm afraid it will require more than I want to give, but then also afraid of failure because failure says I'm not enough. And it's just, I think a lot of us feel like that. So how do we not stay like stuck in the middle of those two fears? Because those are really opposite fears to have. But when they're both there, like how do we move forward in faith to where God has called us when we feel both of those things?
Well, I'm glad to know that I'm not alone in thinking that because, it felt a little bit crazy. And the way I came to know I had those fears is I do the power sheets every year from Cultivate What Matters. And they have questions where you're just supposed to list your fears holding you back from your goals. And I always just ask the Lord, okay, here's my pen. I'm just going to write the first thing that comes to my mind. And then I want you to use it. And I was shocked when the first thing that came to my mind was success. And then the next thing was failure. And I'm like, wow, how do I do anything? Because that's going to leave you right stuck in between. So what I realized, though, is beginning to see that that was my fear and my struggle set me free in a way, just acknowledging it and confessing it and running to Jesus with it and saying, I am scared of these two things and I'm stuck. And then we know what our next brave faith step is usually. We really do. And so for me, it is, okay, I'm acknowledging it. I'm noticing this. And yet I know the next thing I'm supposed to say yes to. So God, you propel me. You give me the faith. You give me the courage. I'm going to dive deep into your character and who you say I am. And I'm just going to try to get past this. It's almost like you're stuck between two trapezes, like jumping from one to the other. And for me, recognizing it was the first big step.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you and I are not the only ones either. I think there's a lot of people that really struggle with that. But you know, I think when you say fear of failure, that feels really common. Like I think a lot of people are afraid of that. But when you start saying fear of success, I think it is common, but I think a lot of people don't realize it until they start like being able to name it. You know, for so many years, I think I struggled with that, but I could never put a name to it. So I think that's really helpful too, to be able to say, we do have a fear of success sometimes because of what will come with that. So kind of on the flip side of that, you also talk about hope and you put it into words really beautifully about how hope can actually be really terrifying. Mm-hmm. So I want you to dive into that, if you will.
I think the word hope just sounds great. It sounds happy. It feels light, but it actually can bring with it a lot of heavy because what it comes is when we're hoping, we're bringing our deep, sometimes way down their desires, and we're trying to hold hope that God is trustworthy with them. And that's with our fears, our desires, our lives in general. And I think I have learned a lot about that through holding hope for other people and them holding hope for me too. Because sometimes you just can't hold it for yourself. Like, for example, my best friend, I just left her house before this interview. And so it's special to me to even think about, but she struggled for years with infertility and miscarriages. And just really, it was just an exhausting, heartbreaking season for her. And if you're going through that, my heart breaks for you. And I just told her over and over, I don't have the right words or any magic wand to fix this, but what I can do is hold hope for you, even when you feel like you can't hold it yourself, because that's your deepest desire. And so sweet. She did have that miracle baby who I just got to love on and squish when it's just something so special about that. But it reminds me of for myself too, am I holding hope in the God that I can trust and running to him with those things? I mean, for example, I'm single, I'm 40. I still hope to someday be married. I have not put my life on hold. I'm living to the full, but it is, you know, it would be nice. I'm an extrovert. I would love to be married. and so sometimes it can be easy not to want to hold hope in that though, because what if I'm disappointed? But what I'm hoping in is not that answered prayer. Who I'm hoping in is the God who answers our prayers and knows that he is writing his glory in my story and I can trust him with that.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think sometimes we don't want to get our hopes up in God because we don't want to have to be disappointed in him. And I think it's helpful to separate of, I might be disappointed in this situation, but that doesn't mean God's character has changed, you know, going back to God's character it's just like, cause it's easy for those feelings to get so wrapped up together of thinking, oh, I'm disappointed in God. And then that becomes, well, then that must be a character flaw for him to disappoint me, when really it's that the situation didn't turn out how I had hoped. So I think that's helpful if we can try to separate those, even though, I mean, it's really hard to do in some situations. Mm-hmm.
That's so good. And I think that's where a community is really good too, to have people who grieve with you and find joy in the hope holding with you, and just to invite others in to hold hope with you, because then you're not doing it alone.
Oh man. I think it was actually our last interview on here. We really dove into talking about community and the importance of it. It's kind of been a theme actually this month. I didn't really mean for it to be that, but here we are again, the importance of having community, because I mean, I think until you walk through something really heavy, you don't quite understand. I've talked about community for years, and then we walked through a really hard season this year as our family, and our community showed up, and it hit home in such a way like I've never experienced, of where it was almost like that, I don't know if I would have survived without our community. Mm-hmm. Like, it really just drives it home. So I think that's why it keeps coming up in every conversation, because I'm like, no, you really don't understand how important it is to have community around you that will hold hope for you, that will encourage you to be obedient, you know, that'll have those hard conversations when they see us being disobedient, because that's a whole nother topic in itself, right? Having friends that can step in and say, hey, I know God's called you to this, mm-hmm. and you're struggling to say yes.
Yeah. And they help you. Community can help also you discern when you're praying, is this my yes step or not? And mm-hmm. that can be a real gift, is to bring it before the people that know you and know God and can help you discern it together. And if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, that sounds so good, but I don't have community, I just, one, have a heart for you, and two, encourage you to really pray and ask God to bring it, even if it's in unexpected places. And then sometimes we just have to get out of our comfort zone and find it. And that can be really hard, but worth it. So if you're listening and you're like, oh, that sounds great, but I don't know who would come alongside and hold hope for me, then I'm just praying for you right now. And I'm just asking you for that maybe to be your next yes to God. Lord, I'm giving you my heart here. Please show me where to find community.
Oh, yes. Amen. I'm glad you said that, because it can be really hard. Okay. So we've kind of been touching on some of these fears and everything, but I want to talk a little bit more about the specific one of when we think we're saying yes to God, but we're not totally sure, and we feel like it's going to throw our whole life off. Like, what if we think God is saying this, but it's not really Him? And if I say yes, but it's not really to God, like my whole life is just going to come to shambles. Like, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Again, I think that is one of the tools that the enemy uses to keep us from wanting to take any steps at all, because it's like, what if I make the wrong one? And just giving ourselves freedom that sometimes we will. And even sometimes those will be big, huge steps of faith that we think and we take, and we're like, wait, that didn't turn out the way we expected. And oftentimes, to be honest, our big leaps of faith do not turn out the way we expect, because Ephesians 3:20 says that God has more than we could ask or imagine, but often we have what we think is our great big imaginations, and then God has His. And I think someday, I can't wait to heaven where we get to see the whole movie played out. I don't know if that happens of our lives, but I just picture it, that and it'll all make sense. And sometimes it doesn't right now. So if that is what's holding you back, know that sometimes you do make the wrong choice. And then sometimes you do the obedient surrender and it turns out completely different than you thought it would, but God. And I mean, the Bible is full of stories like that. I mean, imagine being Mary. Like, that was not her plans to say yes, right, being the mother of the Son of God. And like, I have a lot of heart for her, because I can't imagine, like, even one, just explaining, I'm a virgin and this baby is from the Holy Spirit. Like,
right.
Imagine explaining that. But what she said was, I just reading it again in Luke today, when this angel tells her, you're going to be the mother of the Son of God, and this impossible has been made possible. And she said, behold, I am your servant. Let it be according to your word. And that is really what it comes down to, even though this was not at all her expectations. She would have imagined or dreamed this up. And it came with both pain and it came with the gift, which usually our yes comes with both. It came with the pain of seeing her son someday die on a cross, and it came with the gift of getting to birth the Son of God. And so I don't want to miss anything God has for me in the promised land because I want to avoid pain. And I'm an Enneagram 7. Like, we love to avoid pain. We just want to play.
Right. Oh, I love what you said, that our yes normally comes with both. That's crazy true. Have you heard the analogy of the tapestry? Like when we get to heaven?
Yes. Like underneath.
I love that.
What it looks like underneath, and then you turn it over and it's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So for those listening, if you haven't heard it, because like a tapestry, the back of it or the bottom, whatever, it just looks like all these random strings. Like it doesn't make any sense. And then you turn the tapestry over and it's this like beautiful image. And that I've heard people say that too, like when we get to heaven, maybe it'll be like that, where all these things that happened in our lives that we didn't understand, God like turns it over and we get to see the tapestry, which just like gives me goosebumps thinking about.
And I think that's where the, you know, we have to remember, because sometimes people will think when they said yes, they must have gotten it wrong because it came with pain. But I mean, if you think about pretty much any Bible character that said yes in the Bible, it came with pain of some sort, which really could be scary, but also, especially for an Enneagram 7, but at the same time, it also is comforting to know that that's why God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. And that's the key. He is with us. And that is transformational when we really get our hearts and minds around that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, scripture says, lives inside of us. He has gone before us, behind us. He's all around us. I'm getting excited now. That is the key. Yes, it may come with pain, but it also comes with him, Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes. Oh, Jen, I'm so excited for people to get their hands on this book. So what is one more piece of encouragement or something that you want people to walk away with after they read this?
I love that. I think it is, the main reminder is that it is not a one and done. It's a daily, minute by minute, you know? And so when you've already said yes to God, you're ready for however, wherever, whatever he calls you to. And I mean, I wrote this book. I released it in April. In May, I spent a whole month doing a PR time talking about it. And then in June, God called me to live it and go to Ukraine in the middle of a war and offer hope.
Oh, wow.
On a battlefield in the middle of a war as an untrained soldier. And so I can say with confidence that when you live with your yes before God, he will do things in you and through you that you could not have believed that he would see you through, but you will see him and his glory in your story in a way that you would never imagine.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. Well, lastly, make sure tell everyone how they can go follow you, how they can get their hands on the book, just all the things.
I would love for you to let's be friends. So you can find the book wherever books are sold, of course. And it is called My Yes Is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. But you can find out more about Coming Alive Ministries. And I have a podcast that will be on there at comingaliveministries.com. And then you can follow me on Instagram as Coming Alive Jen, or on Facebook at just Coming Alive Ministries.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much for coming on today and having this conversation. It was such a treat to have you.
I am so excited, and I love how you have lived with your yes on the table, and you're encouraging all of us. I love your ministry, your book, your podcast. So what an honor.
Thank you so much, friend. That truly means so much.
Well, this has been so much fun.
Friends, I hope that you loved this episode of the podcast. If you have been enjoying these episodes, it would be so, so helpful to us if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. This is extremely helpful for new people being able to find the podcast, which allows us to keep producing these episodes that hopefully encourage you and bless you. And I hope that you are truly boldly pursuing where God has called you this week. Until next week, friends. See ya.